Ladies and gentlemen, if you are participating in the at-large criteria and expectation task force, either you're a member or you choose to sit in on it, please have a seat. If you are not participating in it, please vacate the room so we can hold the meeting. Thank you.
I will participate after having something to eat.
We don't lock the door at the very start of the meeting. You are free to act as you wish. Might be a good idea. Thank you very much. We're starting only 8 minutes late, which is the best we've done all week so far. Thank you. This is the task force that is assigned, that is taking on the responsibility for trying to draft for later ALAC consumption and approval a set of expectations and criteria for ALSs and, by implication, RALOs, because the RALOs have to carry out a loss, with the intent of trying to ensure that we have better participation and engagement of our ALS community. Those of you who were in the room at 8 o'clock this morning, I don't know whether you were or not, we were talking about the at-large review. One of the at-large review's aspects is there is an expectation that the reviewer will actually survey ALSs, presumably a sampling, maybe all, I don't know, find out, in fact, how engaged are they. So I think it serves us well to have been talking about it ahead of time before anyone dumps embarrassing results on our lap. And this group is acknowledging the fact that, indeed, we know we have some issues. We don't necessarily know how to fix them, but we're looking for ways of fixing it. More important, perhaps, to make sure as the ALS community grows that we try to where we can have groups that are well engaged. The task at the moment, there are some follow-on activities, but the current tasks are divided among four design teams. The first one is design team A, looking at the application process, a one because part of their job cannot really complete and the rest of us do our jobs. But that nevertheless getting a good start. It's being led by Natalie. For the record, for those of you who weren't part of the process, moderately unusual within our groups to have a staff member leading a group unanimously decide that Natalie was the right person. The second group is the criteria that we should apply in accepting an ALS, and I'm leading that group. The third one is that's DTC, the letter of the design team, basically as part of the A is for application, C is for criteria, DTE, operational expectations, that is, what do we expect ALSs to do on a regular basis, and strong implication on what do we expect ALOs to do, and what do we expect staff to do in regular communication and engagement of the ALSs. That is being chaired by Yuria. And lastly, we have I, individual members, and Cheryl. Cheryl has asked to lead off because she has it. Cheryl, thank you.
Thank you very much, Alan. Cheryl Langdonnell for the transcript record, and hopefully staff will be able to display a very brief, embarrassingly so, update on, if not our activities, which is leaner than we would like to have been able to report to you all because of this little overwhelming task that many have engaged with in other parts of ICANN. We haven't progressed as far as we had wanted to, but I do want to, in this more open, bring you all up to speed. The primary focus for our work team is to look first at the level of uniformity and any possible need for harmonisation between the RALOs regarding how they deal with individual members, which for our documentation we will call IM. I want to make it clear now that this is not an option. It is an accepted recommendation from the review of the at-large advice one that all regional at large organisations shall admit individual members. And to date, that is one of the tiny pieces of work that has not been fully completed from our first review. I think it's extraordinarily important that we show significant, if not complete, process of getting that in place, if not fully enacted, in each of the RALOs before the independent reviewer comes in. That would be a big oops, and I think flag. perhaps a little pink flag at this stage that we this work seems a little banal, but it is actually important. Said, a number of the regional at large organisations, and one in North America, has had the capacity and indeed has had active individual members working. Oh, I shall come back from the microphone or do that. To allow individual mind in their bylaws, and a number of other RALOs have come on board with staff is doing, which I'm a fortnight where it might be, chart where we could look more in comparison of how each of the regional large organisations deals currently with individual members. What is their current crisis? What is the status? How do they deal with voting? Same time. The Asia-Pacific viewed their rules of procedure, specific piece of work, which are a potentially mammoth number, enormous number, of would be dealt with because of the... So we're looking at from the other way. Most of the RALOs have a way, a pseudo-at-large structure and giving it rights, the responsibilities, and same way as another at-large structure. But how one would justify, for example, that model being used where we could conceive a by or 30,000 individual member region that could hardly be argued to be valid for a single vote, as if it was. AP RALO will be putting out a white paper when more and I draw breath at one point in some year that is going to propose some data to talk about as to how that work in progress. The review obviously can't be static. Work is ongoing, so we need to take a watch brief on what the regional at large will. The next particular is the issue of on-site participation, where you decide, of course, if we will have a large structure, gets to choose and send a representative. Again, we need to look at how we balance. Five, one for every 50, one for every 500. How does one work on a parity or making sure that the voice of the unaffiliated individual member heard within our regions and within our... Then what I'm flagging in this report today, which is new business, but I would like to... I believe we probably need to call for inter and intra RALO discussions on this. When? I'm not even guessing, but we certainly need to do that. It needs to get on the books. It needs to become... and I think I've covered, and I don't want to go into the fuzzy ALS and voting, reasonably a degree of harmonisation for the rights, the requirements, the consequences of that. Mr Chairman, I would thank you.
Thank you, Cheryl. Before I open the floor to any questions, that I should have added, Cheryl apologised for being late and not doing as much work as this warranted at this point. When I office as chair, this was one of my number one priorities, and my intent was by the time we came to Dublin, we would have formal proposals to approve by the ALAC and put this clearly are not there. We started much later than we should have. I haven't focused as much energy on it after we started as we should have. That I'll take full responsibility for. Any questions on Cheryl? On Cheryl's discourse.
Just, I know, you know that like RALO didn't find a way to get in. And we had no time. This time we are drawn into this fight inside the like RALO, so it's quite difficult. But anyway, it's something that probably one point that we start in back in time, discussing was start to assess that already demonstrated some kind of commitment with the group. So have been in some ICANNs, attending some calls, attending webinar, some kind of criteria that we could as engaged person before open up for any kind of, not because they are not engaged inside their day-by-day organization. Most of them are, just fake, enter into one ALS just to participate. But that was the main criteria we start to talk about. It's, pre-engage before you propose to be an individual. Thank you.
If I may, Alan, just in response to that, Cheryl, two things. Yes, you've raised really important casual approach is something we need to capture. Segue. That was not my 2 minutes. To some of the features that you'll find in DTA applies to at-large structures, in many cases apply to our individuals as well.
Thank you very much. We have one more speaker in the queue, Wolf. Before, I will note, however, up until now, individual members have been an issue that we delegated to the RALOs. There is a strong feeling among some people, not necessarily supported universally, that we need to have some overall ground rules. There may be variations, but some overall ground rules, which may differ from the current rules used by some RALOs. And we're looking at an overall model level of uniformity and usability by the feet. Cheryl is concerned with, 25 or 30,000 members in a virtual ALS, and what does that mean? We do have a few ALSs which actually currently have many members, so we already apportion our votes like that. On the other hand, Naralo has had individual members since the very beginning, and I don't think we've ever exceeded 10, and probably significantly less than that. So, that may well just be an issue of publicity, but the problems vary, and we need some commonality, or perhaps not. That's one of the things this group will be looking at. Wolf, go ahead.
Hey, it's Wolf Ludwig for the records. Compared to Naralo, Uralo didn't have individuals from the very beginning. But over the first couple of years, we realized there is a potential in Europe of free-floating, highly engaged people. So just as a walking example, most of you know Roberto Gaetano, who has a long-standing record on the ICANN board, and it was difficult to get him somehow involved and included, and there was nothing. And I could perfectly understand people saying, I do not want to be forced to join an existing ALS. So I cannot identify with this or the other group, therefore I'm an individual. And therefore in 2010, we decided to amend our bylaws, and it was accepted by the vast majority of our members. We need two-thirds of members' approval to have it confirmed, and we create an option that the individuals could create their own ALS, the Uralo Individuals Association. So they drafted some sort of very simple, stupid bylaws, and they applied for certification, and without any problem, they became certified, I think, in autumn 2013. Since that time, Roberto, Veronica Cretu, meanwhile, there are a lot of other floating people involved. So this was the best opportunity. It was one of our best decisions we made over the years. And they are on the ICANN level, according to my observation, one of the most active involved in ICANN. And there is still an ongoing gap compared with other ALS. They are active on the ground. I know most of them, and they are busy on the daily level on the ground in their country, but the link between national level to Uralo and then going even further to the next higher ICANN level, there is a considerable problem. And we are fighting over years how to bridge this gap between what they are doing actively on the national level, getting them better and more included, involved in Uralo issues, and then going to the next level, what would be more involvement in ICANN policy development.
Thank you very much. Just for the record, I'm an unaffiliated member. I occasionally do something.
By the way, Olivier as well.
No, I don't believe so.
He became lately a member of ISOC France. Oh, He's a member of ISOC UK, but they are not a certified ALS, unfortunately. So okay. Olivier is one of our best walking examples about okay. excellence from our individuals.
Shows how much I know. Any other questions? We are running, Fatima, I see you. We are running short on time if we want to do. We do have another group starting at 12:30. So we have about a half an hour left. Natalie, how long can you stay in this meeting? You have the full half hour. Fatima and Jani. And then on closing the clue.
Thanks, Alan. This is Fatima. For the record, I will speak in Spanish.
I understand that the issue of deciding on the membership of ALSs and or individual members has not been decided upon yet, whether it will be defined by ALAC or decided by each RALO. And I think Wolf's example is excellent because it's related to the maturity of each RALO. Not all RALOs are at the same level of maturity. In LAC RALO, right now we are going through some institutional crisis, and it would be very tough for us right now to tackle this issue of taking in individual members. So it's important to keep on discussing this within each RALO until we decide whether this will be a universally applied criteria coming from ALA. This is my opinion based on our experience and on the basis of what happens in our RALO. Thank you.
We may make it easier for you by giving you the rules. The issue is, as Cheryl mentioned earlier, that this was a recommendation out of the last at-large review. We're now starting the second, not being really good at implementing it. So regardless, we are trying right now to catch up. And we will have to decide to what extent we have rules across the board. There will clearly be a rule across the board that we need to have individual members. We accepted that. Now the question is, at what level do we decide?
I am the chair of a committee of AFRALO rules. And this issue of an affiliated member, if you want, was one of the issues that get us. There is a very strong pushback about this issue. And I spent a very long time to try to convince. Their reasons, I understand them, but they are not ready to accept this. I managed that at the end to have a resolution that we accept the principle. Implementation will be now to accept individual members that don't have any right. They are here only to participate, cannot take any decision or participate in the making. I hope that we will manage at the end to make people accept that they will have a right to participate. I would like to say that the individual, the unaffiliated members have sure a lot of merit, and I strongly pushed towards. Have also this have also a lot of, and we had experience now, and we know more or less what are the problems, might be the problems. So we have to be careful posing to any RALO, anything. I don't agree to make it as a whole rule for the whole RALOs to accept the any affiliated member. Let the RALO do it as it can.
Thank you. I'll point out we already did accept that each RALO will have individual members. Right now on the table is to what extent do we have rules that cross RALOs and what rules do we let RALOs. I am very glad that it's Cheryl leading this group, not me. I'd like to go next to revert back to the order of the original. I have no more questions for the invisible person. Back to the original order and call upon Natalie.
The aim of this was to go over the application last project because staff takes on a chunk. Then we had the ALAC members' point of view. So rather than tackle these individually, we tried out all the issues, all perspectives regarding the application file, but I think we got there. So divided into four blocks. Clarity of information, not in general, one ALS and another. And necessarily the differences in their activity led to us deciding that staff would more in-depth feedback from the regional. Going further than the standard email addresses are the ones for the organization. Going the extra mile to make sure that the applicant as honest and also decided in that case have for some applicants very clear, again, not a reflection on how so we've had to take all that into account. Hopefully, next one was a big inequality as a whole. It was quite a tough decision and community change, or at least we needed to observe what was. We managed to divide this into several chunks. First, the way railos talked among themselves regarding regional advice. This was a big part of the discussion. Some railos will keep the information contained to read. In this practice, you have differences. Some railos and other rail leaderships will condense the information regarding the discussion once the and any other document needed, so the bylaws, starting date of the vote, which is an issue with the application, or maybe there's therefore decided that. Decided fairly early on that we would extend. ELAC members would receive all the information needed. The next round, and that is a big one. It concerns again, solved yet, is the question of a hold in the application procedure. There's no mention of any reason, valid reason, to put the application on days hold, or maybe decide therefore. What warrant a hold period? Would it be, for example, regarding due diligence questions? Staff has had issues where due diligence members receiving the information solved those issues with the. We need a clear procedure regarding this. And one more positive aspect, the decision we came to, rather than be just an administrative procedure, times could be an engagement opportunity. Being at the moment, as you know, that new ALSs who get accredited and off, staff are together, an onboarding procedure, it's a lot more. There's a lot more to be done. I think we should start the engagement opportunity from the because an application doesn't go through that time, that maybe have a brief introduction with railo leadership, who would be able to some direction points, starting along the three-month application period.
Natalie, I'll point out a subtle message that's sending in part of that, where she said we're extending by a week the period the ALAC has. That sends a message saying we expect the ALAC members to actually this should not be an ALAC rubber stamp of the regional advice. The regional advice should be one of the issues that the ALAC members, an important one, but it does not remove the responsibility to evaluate the application its own right. I say that come to my attention that a fair number, or at least some ALAC members, feel that it is not their something within their discretion, accepting the regional advice period, made aware of that. Any other questions for Natalie? Again, I'm obliged to continue to point out that we have 18 minutes.
Well, and thank you very much, Natalie. You did a very good job. I am always happy with your work at any time because you always make your work. Coming back to the ALAC, the right of ALAC to consider the patients, yes, for sure. But I think that the regional advice is a compulsory or a necessary element of the assessment. We need to make the regional leadership give their assessment very not too late. And ALAC can have a different view from the advice of the regional leadership. So I think that we cannot, as ALAC members, we cannot assess the application if we don't have the regional advice, and we are not obliged to follow this advice.
Correct. Thank you. Glenn.
Glenn, for the record. Natalie, I haven't really seen your document, but what's really important if the secretariat or chair of a railo needs to be working very closely with that application so that they actually can give some sound advice. One of the things we're finding in looking back at a number of ALSs that have fallen off the map is the lack of correct information on the secondary person because the primary person has disappeared. So I think it's need to really stress to the applicants that the second person really is not a name filler in the application.
May I reserve discussion on that until we get to the next design team? Anything else for Natalie? Danny, go ahead.
Thank you. Very good idea to make the update informally in the RALO activities. There is only a small problem because the RALO will have to decide on the present. So I don't know how we can do that.
Natalie said they would be invited to the teleconferences. and perhaps put on mailing lists, that doesn't make them full members and part of the decision process.
Tijani, this is Natalie. Tijani does have a point that some RELOs use the RELO monthly meeting to discuss the application calendar. It could be conceived RELO monthly meeting upon invitation vice period, and they would not be invited or noticed.
Point out, it's pretty hard to stop some from dialing into a public meeting list. But Fatima, we really have to go on to the next one if it's very, very short.
Fatima, with regard to Tijani's words, in our RELO, it happened that those who are applying to be an ALS were already included in the mailing list because they might have been fellows and they were already engaged or someone else invited them. They had already been included in the mailing list. And when reading our discussions on their options as ALSs or not, well, I think for the sake of transparency, that should not be an issue, the fact that they are already in the list. If eventually these discussions are open and the various opinions of the regions will be expressed to achieve this advice. But at any point in time, we need to get any clarification about them. There should be something in the procedure stating whether any explanation or clarification can be asked from them when they are already involved in the product, in the process.
That the current rules, as approved by the board, call for confidentiality in much of the process of ALS acceptance, a process which is violated blatantly by some of the RELOs, perhaps all of the RELOs. So one of the things we're looking at is make sure that whatever rules we put in place are enforceable and are usable, because just for that very reason, some RELOs have chosen to make this a very public process where officially we are in violation of the rules by doing that. We need... It turns out that almost all of the rules we put in place in 2007 are not being followed. They may be followed, but not the details. And that's one of the reasons we're that whatever we tell ALSs is what we're at to do, because right now it's not the case. Thank you, and I will go on to the next next line team, which is mine. It is not a very long discussion. Can I ask staff to put up the document, please? And I remind you, we do have one more coming, and we really... do not want to tell Yuria, sorry, no more time for you. Finns become very nasty people when you don't, when you're not. Like, claws come out, and it's really ugly. That, again, for the record, was a joke. Soon we will have the document up on the screen. Read it quicker than staff are telling the chair to calm down. Go down. All right, let me start reading them, and maybe it will show up as we go along. There are only six items in the chart. The first one is we do not... It's there. Can we make it readable? Curious. Mine only has six bullets. Title is in blue. I will start reading them. I will read slowly so people can hear me. Sent them a link to it on the Skype chat. Maybe we can have someone write them on a flip chart. First one is, we are not planning any changes to the current rules which call for self-funding, largely individual-led ALSs. So that is essentially the current criteria, that they be largely led by individuals, that include involvement by corporate or governments. Some countries, that is the reality. Largely led by individuals, and they cannot presume funding from ICANN. And that doesn't mean we don't occasionally put some money in, but it shouldn't be necessary. We are recommending that instead of the one contact, there be three contacts. That has been the practice in AP RELO and has been eminently successful in making sure that have access to somebody, some human being who will actually reply to an email. Tell us it has been something that has been useful. Contacts need not be the leaders of the organization, but the application must certify that the leaders of the organization knowledge of the application and support it. We have specifically had cases where the contact person no longer is there anymore, so we did something what we thought was reasonable. We went to the organization's website, found out who the chair was, and said, who do you want to name as your ALS representative? And they said, ALS? ICANN? The application had been made on with the name of the organization, but without any knowledge of the organization. You had any knowledge of the current leaders. Who knows whether the leaders at the time were involved. So far, I hope I'm not saying anything that's totally unreasonable. We may get down to those in a minute. Next point. The contact must have the ability to communicate with the organization membership. That's linked to the operational expectation, which we'll get to, that one of the tasks of the contact are to redistribute information to the member. Remember, in our current implementation, from the perspective of the RALOs, some RALOs, BALS is the contact person. So a year or so ago when we did a survey of what skills do we have in the ALS, we in fact asked what skills do we have in the ALS representatives. Stop there. And the ALS has to be more than just the representative. So we are presuming that there is a way to communicate with the membership and get back should anyone care to give us feedback. It could be as simple as providing us with their mailing list address and we send things directly. Many people may not choose to do it that way. They may choose to filter. Language is also an issue in some cases, that the language we send out our messages in may not bear membership. The fifth item is the minimum size of the RALO. We are not specifying a minimum size. We expect that there are more people than just the content and that there are more people than just those listed as the leadership of the RALO. Be a judgment call of the RALO and then the ALAC, based on the description that they provide, whether indeed there is a real ALS back there, or it's just one person coming in ALS so that if there's ever any travel, they can get it or something like that. Lastly, they must explain the intersection between their interests, the interests of the organization, and ICANN. In the past, I have not infrequently had organizations very strong interest in the Internet, no interest in ICANN. It was a great way of getting more ALSs, but not a particularly great way of getting engagement. So those are the criteria that we have to date. This is not a finished effort. Didn't seem to be any point in having 400 different criteria on the application. We're going to have to evaluate it. So we're trying to distill it down to this relatively small number of things that in our minds really matter. When I say are, the people who cared. Now, I think they're up there. I certainly can't read that, but maybe the rest of you could, and maybe we can put in the chat the URL pointing to that document. This is a document that's been around for a number of months. I open the question, open the floor. Glenn, go ahead.
Yeah. The second bullet, the three contact talking, not just contacts, not a shopping list or a telephone book of names, genuine people that would stand up as substitutes. Primary person goes AWOL. That's my point that I said.
That is exactly the intent.
Okay, it's not implied in that statement. We're talking three contacts that are actually, they have to be committed to it. We've seen so many ISOC applications around the world where there's names, but they're just a shopping list.
I didn't say 20 names. You said three, and we expect these to be people who are contactable. And in fact, one of the things we're going to have to be doing is on a regular basis contacting them.
As I'm having an application right now, I totally agree to these application rules. As thinking about that, in my mind arose a question: do we check ALSs on a regular basis if we fulfill these criteria after a couple of years, maybe?
We do not. Should we be? You bet.
Now we're going to lose a lot of ALSs if we do so.
When we get to Yuria, and we now have 3 minutes left for him. But one of the absolute requirements, I believe, for ongoing is an annual or biannual report. Can't just disappear. And if that means we lose half the applications because they're not really half the ALSs because they're not really there, let's be honest with ourselves and deal with people who are there. Okay.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Sorry, we had one more, Danny, in recognition of the time.
Sorry.
Go ahead.
So, only say that evaluating the importance or the volume of the ALS will not be easy. Yes, I agree that it shouldn't be only three or four members only, but where you will put the bar and how you will evaluate that? They can tell you we have 3,000 members. How can you verify that? So I think that we need something to a metric.
Tijani, I would hesitate to say it doesn't really matter as long as we actually find out there are living beings there who are interested. And that, we're looking at what our expectations are from them. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you, Ellen. Could you put up the slide on operational expectations? Meanwhile, I start talking about the ALSs are expected to identify as ALS in their internet-related activities and communications, including their websites. Of course, they may be any organizations whatsoever for any purpose, but they should also say that they are an ALS. Next, they should distribute information about the ICANN in their area. By area, I mean their country or city or province, whatever is their sort of fief. Third, they should keep the RALO informed about important internet-related developments in their area, in legislation, in whatever. Fourth, they should participate in internet-related multi-stakeholder activities in their area and represent, of course, the end-user point of view. They should network with all actors, stakeholders, including the GAC representatives of that. They should offer their grassroots experience and these as inputs in the RALO ALAC policy advice development process. And of course, the RALOs should also be active in asking for that advice, and they should know who those experts in the ALSs are. This leads to back to the implementation and one of the Atlas II recommendations about finding out who exactly are there knowledgeable about various things. Then they have their representatives participate at least 50% of RALO conference calls. This is an arbitrary figure, but I think that it would be good to have a figure saying that they should participate actively or often, ever. And last, they should provide their RALO with an annual report of activity.
Furia for the concise. Any comments or questions? Judith.
Question on those. Now we have laws on, and it doesn't, are we going to act with these? Are we going to be revising those to match with these, because right now have a sort of motivating ALS is doing a review of once a year of ALSs have not come to a meeting, voted in 2 years, 3 years, three elections, which could be really 1 year or 2 years too. So are we going to be chained to match these, or what is it going to be? Also, I have a question on on the annual report. That is adding too much to an ALS to do an annual report. If an ALS is a small ALS, and it's putting a too heavy a burden.
Yuri, may I answer?
Well, these are just proposals and suggestions, and I think that actually I sent this list by email to all members of the task force so that. Welcome to comments.
If indeed filling in a web form for an annual report is too much to do once a year or once every 2 years, as I said, then I think we have a real problem. That's number one. Number two, we expect virtually everything to be changing. The bylaws right now, we are in violation of almost all the bylaws associated with ALSs. They will have to be rewritten. It would be foolish to presume that our detailed rules, both within the ALAC and within the RALOs, will not have to be adjusted. So, yes, but there will also have to be a very definite defocus on voting. Right now, we use voting as a major criteria. As a result, we have a high percentage of people who vote. They never show up any other time. They put their hand up to vote, hand up to travel. That's not the kind of content that we were looking for. So we will have to exactly what we will do is part of what we're trying to determine here. We have Fatima and Glenn and Yulia. and I close the queue.
Thanks, Alan. This is Fatima for the record in Spanish again.
I agree with what Alan is saying. If an organization cannot submit one annual report, well, it shouldn't be an ALS because it's the minimum commitment we ask from them. And on the other hand, when we're talking about voting or not voting in the elections, at LACRALO, we have had this many times. One way of expressing, making themselves heard, is by not voting because they are against the candidates or because they are against the procedures that have been accepted. So the idea of voting or not voting is not a valid criteria to define whether an ALS is active or not. So I am really happy that we are doing this review, and I hope that many ALS will be decertified because they are not behaving or acting as an ALS. And I think we should have a new certification process with other and enhanced standards. We have been trying to do this at LACRALO for some time now, but we haven't been available so as to put the focus on quality rather than on quantity. So now we have been looking at the number of ALSs we have at large when many of them are not real. They are not participating. Thank
you. One of the pleasures, and I put that in quotations, of being ALAC Air is I tend to monitor things that are going on in the RALOs more than I might have before. And it's rather discouraging when we do have a vote that find the people anymore, but that's the only time we find out we can't find them. Somewhat problematic. Glenn.
I don't take offense to any of these expectations that Euros has created. I think they're minimal. I don't think they're much of a burden. I guess it gets down to who's actually going to chase those RALOs, you know, the secretariat of the RALOs or the staff. It's the devil's in the detail. It's absolutely astounding when you look at people's websites, how they don't mention ICANN or any other participation. I'm astounded. But that's the reality. No one has ever forced them to actually make that public declaration. So it's an issue. I guess my question is, who's actually going to impose these new rules? Who's going to follow up? Whose responsibility?
The answer is to be determined. There will be a significant staff component. And I support what you said about ALS noting their ALSs. In Naralo a little while ago, we had someone who was applying to be an individual member claiming they were not a member of any ALS, and they were a member of a very large ALS. That ALS had nothing on its website to tell them that they... Julia.
Julia Morenes, URL Secretariat. Well, from I think the concerning the report, I quite agree with. I do think it's a good idea to encourage, actually, not to make it obligatory, to encourage to provide an annual report. In all cases, each civil society organization or ILS normally does well. They must have an annual report in order to report to their sponsors, donors, and et cetera, et cetera. So it's a minimum accountability that they have already. And I think it will be very useful to other also members to know what different ILSs they do and how they can interact or network together or maybe exchange information. So it also can be useful. Maybe we should not use this area in order to make the decertification or... eliminate the ILS, but we charge, and this is my personal point of view. Thank you.
Notice we haven't talked about decertification at all. Not supporting your annual report, which was due yesterday, is not likely to be a rationale for decertification tomorrow. We will have to talk about that as we go on, and I encourage people to ask for us so we get it right. Thank you. If I missed anyone? No? Then I thank you all for this meeting. I call it to a close. We whole ALAC and regional leaders are reconvening at this point. Johnny, you have a Skype message saying, can you chair the 3-minute session?